frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Okay, good. There we go. We're in this series here, Priority Mail. Heading to a town called Smyrna. Wow. Haven't been going in order. We've been skipping around. We're going to a town today called Smyrna, some 35 miles north of Ephesus. The mailman today, whose letter we're about to swipe and read its contents, is delivering the second of seven letters intended for the pastors of the seven churches. The writer of these letters is the very Son of God himself. So what's the history of Smyrna? Now, Smyrna was where someone named Polycarp was the bishop or the pastor. You know, I love to dissect names. I was thinking about that Polycarp. Poly means a lot, right? Carp is the kind of fish you never want to catch. So he must have been in some rotten city where they had nasty fish all the time. Polycarp. How come his name's not Polly Trout? Don't write that down. Or Polly Bass. Or help me out here. Huh? Polly Salmon. That doesn't carry a good ring to it. Snook. Polly Snook. That's it. Polly Snook. But it's carp. Who's ever caught a carp? Now, who's ever caught a carp accidentally? Where's Jim when I need him? Yeah. Smyrna. All right, now don't let that name trick you here, this Polycarp. He's a tough old critter. You mess with this guy. We're going to find out here coming up. Smyrna, unfortunately, was the center of emperor worship, right? Believe it or not, they worshiped the emperors of Rome. It's just like today, but now they call him Pope. Oops, I didn't say that, did I? Huh? Truth. Truth is truth be truth. Hey, if I give you my ring to kiss it, you call that what you want. I call that worship. Yeah. Is what it is. Don't sugarcoat that. Don't kiss my ring. Jesus said, call no one Father except one. Anything other than that is flat out idolatry. There is one Father. There is one Holy Father. Just one. It's Jehovah. It's Jehovah. Now anyway, imagine being a church or being a Christian in a place like this where you will bow down and worship the emperor or end up like that and be horribly killed. So as history has it, this man Polycarp, the pastor of this church at Smyrna, was faced with this dilemma. Deny Christ and bow down and worship the emperor. And they said to him and everyone else, they say, swear by the genius of Caesar. That's what they did in this town. Now also, as history has it, Polycarp answered the liberals that were there in Smyrna, the Christian haters, with this famous comment. He said, quote, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. Unquote. Now that's what I'm talking about. Don't mess with Polycarp. He's my kind of guy. You're going to get bonked on the head if you mess with Polycarp. He's going to put the hurt on your forehead. He didn't care how old he was. He was not bowing down to any false god. That needs to be our attitude today. Esposito don't preach that message in this church. That's hate speech. My answer should be, 30 years I have served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth as thou wilt. Fill in the blank for you. Or some crazy Muslim breaks through the door and says, are there any Christians? Bring forth what thou wilt. That ought to be our new call to action. What do you think? Now, some 50 years before this happened to Polycarp, the Lord Jesus dictates a letter to the current pastor of this church. Now, Smyrna, like Ephesus, was a proud and beautiful city. Had a large library, a stadium, the largest public theater in all of Asia. A famous golden street traversed the city. It had a temple of Zeus on one end and a temple to a local goddess, Cypele, on the other end. Other temples there were Apollo, Asclepius, Aphrodite as well. And even more important, the city had become a center for the cult of emperor worship. Smyrna received permission to build a temple to the emperor, Tiberius, in 23 BC. Under the emperor Domitian, who ruled when this letter was written, under the emperor Domitian, emperor worship was required for all Roman citizens. Those who refused could receive the death penalty. Now get this. Once a year, all the citizens of Smyrna were required to burn incense on an altar to Caesar, after which they would receive a certificate proving that they had done their civil duty. Now, while this was more of an act of a political loyalty than a religious act, the citizens had to say, while burning incense there, they had to say, Caesaros Curios, which meant Caesar is Lord. Now, many Christians there considered this act blasphemous and refused to do this. In addition to being a center for the emperor, for the imperial cult, Smyrna also had a large Jewish population that actively opposed the Christians. Thus, the church in this city struggled against two hostile forces: the Gentile population, loyal to Rome and supported emperor worship, and then on the other side, a large Jewish population strongly opposed to Christianity. Years later, in 156 AD, the 86-year-old church father Polycarp was burned alive in Smyrna as, quote, the 12th martyr of Smyrna, unquote. Well, now there's a double whammy for you, huh? You've got evil, Satan-led unbelievers and God-haters, and you have these angry Jews that hated Jesus with a passion on the other end. So that's the backdrop to this church at Smyrna, whom Jesus dictates this letter to. Boy, the poor pastor. What a difference from last week, remember? The church in Philadelphia, the church with the open door that couldn't do any wrong. Now we're looking at this scene. Imagine being a member of this church. What would you do if you were a member of this church? Next Sunday at 10:30, it's your turn to burn the incense and get up here and say, Caesaros Curios. Boy, if there's any time to have dolphin season tickets, it'd be next week. I'd rather settle for Vancouver, British Columbia season tickets. I'd rather take the slow boat to China. How would you endure that? How did these cats endure that? What did they have that we don't have? Now, verse 8 of chapter 2. Now, to the pastor of the church at Smyrna, write, These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Boy, not many can claim that, huh? Put that on your business card, right? I am the first in the universe. Who else can say that? Only Jesus. He is first. He's number one in the universe. Jesus Christ is number one. He's first. And he's last. Eschatos. Who was dead and came to life again. No one else can claim that. Only the Son of God. He is the beginning. He's the arche. He is the end, the telos. The only thing he shares in common with us of this list is he died. But then he came to life again. This here is what sets Christianity apart from everything and everyone else, right? Death is not the end for you. This here is what Jesus did with death and the power of death. Listen to this verse, Colossians 2:15. Speaking of Christ, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he mocked them in public, triumphing over them in it. So you could write that out as you if you wanted to Nana, Nana Boo Boo. Devil, you're toast. To use the Esposito vernacular. So when the scoffer asks you what makes your belief system different than anyone else, here it is right here. Death is not the end for you, friend. Hallelujah. That's only the beginning. That's good news. This life is a fingernail's worth of your existence compared to how it's going to be. You're the only ones that can say that. See, this is how these guys got through this kind of stuff. They held on to these truths, that this is just the beginning. How does that verse go again? For our temporary light affliction is working out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We don't hope for what we see. We hope for what we do not and cannot see. That's where our hope is. Death's not the end. Death has no hold over you now because of the Son. People say all the time, there are many ways to God and many ways to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Make no mistake, there's only one way. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time to not refuse the Son that if you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way. When he came to life again, God gave a stamp of approval on his Son and every word that he said. All right, so this letter comes from the one who came to life again permanently. Verse 9, I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So you're not a Jew, he's saying. See, Moses was a Jew. Abraham was a Jew. Isaac was a Jew. Peter and Paul, James and John, Simon and Bartholomew. These cats were Jews. Jews believe God. Jews don't go around killing Christians. Jews believe God at his word, is what Jesus said. So you guys aren't Jews. You're killing my people. You're not Jew. Paul wrote in Romans 2:28, he says, a Jew is with one that is a Jew inwardly, not outwardly. Romans 2:28. Now, regarding this church, he's saying to them, I haven't forgotten about you. Matter of fact, this church has got no correction from our Lord, only encouragement. He says, he's saying to them, I know what you're going through. He says, number one, I know your works. So question, does he know yours? Does he know your works today? What are you doing with the talents that he's given you, church? Does Jesus know your works? We learned last week the Lord has set before us an open door that no man can shut. Remember that? We understood last week, if you are a member of the faithful church, Jesus Christ has opened the door that no man can shut. Let's take advantage of that. Let's occupy until he comes. Let's be busy doing this kingdom work until he returns. It's getting dark out here in this country. Someone, one of you guys said to me this morning, I forget who, that we're one pen stroke away from all of this changing. Time is short. So he tells them he knows their works. And I'm just wondering, does he know yours? What is that? Revelation 14:13. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. What kind of works are following you? If you whistle for them like a faithful puppy, what would they be? What are you doing for Jesus today? Remember, he's given you a blank check, meaning everything that you do is going to prosper. And he has opened the door for you that no man can shut, no demon can shut, no IRS agent can shut, no president can shut, no one can shut the door he's opened for you. Find out, ascertain what he's given you to do, and blaze through them doors and do it outside of this church. That's my encouragement to you. He knows your works. He's promised to bless them. He's got harsh words for those that bury their talent in the ground. Won't work, huh? That was a nice thought, though. Thank you. Number two, Jesus says he knows their tribulation. The Bible shows us that all Christians are confronted with tribulation. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulation. Now, some have it worse than others. But what you won't face or have to endure is the wrath of God. Church, you will never face the wrath of God because he took your penalty in your place. The substitute. Darren, this is where we end up every week. I don't plan it this way. Everything goes right back to here. It's not even written down. I gotta write these things down. Everything ends up here. Jesus took your and my penalty in our place. He suffered the penalty. He paid the price. There is therefore, now the Bible says, thank you to those that are in Christ Jesus. He took our penalty in our place. This is how we can boldly get through this, is there's no condemnation on us. Or this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your lot is salvation. He took our wrath upon himself. That's why we're here shouting this morning. Because we're grateful for what he did by dying in our place, taking our penalty upon himself, dying when he wasn't supposed to, dying when he didn't have to, dying when I was supposed to. I was supposed to die, not him. We've already said it once. He That's the Father made him. That's the Son who knew no sin. The King James says he was made into sin. Imagine forming that snowball. Made. God made his Son into sin. And wouldn't even look at him anymore. What did he say on the cross from that? Bring it up, right? My God, why have you forsaken me like this? It's so that you and I won't have to go through tribulation anymore. You and I will never have a gavel come down over you and God to declare you guilty because his Son paid the penalty for it. He took our guilt so that you and I can be free and walk out of his doors free, never to be judged again. Now, by golly, that's good news. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm going to get excited about it. Infect as many of you as possible. Thank God I've infected this whole. You all got what I got. You're infected. You're infected with what? I'd say gratitude. Love for him. And then because of that, love for others. We must have 30 volunteers for the food pantry here. Maybe they're not all here at the same time. But you help because you care about people, because you're grateful for what he's done. And you feel bad for people that don't have a loaf of bread. See, he knows your works. See, it's good. Our works are good when they're done in his name. And when they're done to bring him glory. Not because we feel we have to work for them or get out of purgatory. Let's go back to Job's time if you want. 4,000 years. You and I, unfortunately, we'll always face that. That's not the wrath of God. That's the wrath of Satan. You got to make a distinction. That is not God. That is the stinking devil. God's image is of his Son on a cross, shedding his blood. That's the image for you and I. It's the Son of God on the cross, shedding his blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's the image for me. It's the Son of God dying for me. But make a distinction between the wrath of Satan. You know, at least one Christian has died in this world as a martyr, right? Good Lord, go get the Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime and look through that book. Look at all the Christians that were set on fire, dipped in oil and lit to light some crazy man's games. So, again, that's totally different. We face it today, right here among us today. The wrath of Satan is evident in our demon-infested public schools. The wrath of Satan is all around us in our evil government. The evil government that runs this country is full of the wrath of Satan. Look around. These things aren't godly. These things aren't godly. This country's not leading you to godliness. It's leading you to immorality and sin. It is what it is. Shut me down, he'll say it next. Shut him down, we'll hire someone else. You can't change the truth by changing the speaker. It's in the Word of God. This is an evil country. I'm grateful to see changes, positive changes, like here in Florida. They've changed, I think, every group, school group They've all changed conservative now. Even Miami. I'm not saying it right. School group. The school boards. They've all turned conservative after this last primary election. Miami is now 7-1. 7 conservatives to 1 liberal. So now these are the groups that decide.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Just stay.